morning, brought to you by First Baptist Church and also by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. City Matters coming up in just a bit on 1400 K1.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, taking an opportunity to talk of city business this morning with Councilman Alan Gentius. First of all, thanks for coming in, sir. Thanks for your service.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
And
good morning.
Last night, some important news coming out of the city council meeting early on, and we can skip down a couple of items from the consent agenda, but Fire Chief John Banks out with some news that I think many property owners, even folks with a renter's policy, may not catch the full drift of what a decrease, which is actually meaning a better number, lower number is a better rating on the Bartlesville Fire Department's ISO rating.
Yes, there's some very impressive numbers that the chief brought to us, and the ISO has improved our classification, which will have a direct impact on folks' insurance bills. Yeah. And he said specifically there would be a large impact on the more rural areas and on the commercial aspect of it. So that will be something that maybe doesn't sound that exciting, but it'll be exciting when we write our insurance checks.
Yeah, that becomes effective, I believe he said, the 1st of March. So if when your policy renews after March, you'll see a decrease. There are several rating factors that the insurance companies use for the typical homeowners or business fire policy, but the two major FIDA items on there is, of course, just the insured value. Are we talking about $100,000 property or $200,000 property, whatever? And then the ISO rating, which, among other things, has to do with, and he went into a more detail than I did, water availability and the training level and manning level of the fire department.
That's right.
And I know they look at response time and some other things in there, but the two major factors. So
right. He had a whole chart of things,
yeah.
And it was impressive. I was specifically impressed because this is kind of boiling it all down, that we were in probably the top 10% of the fire departments in the state.
I don't have the number in front of me, but there are 30 departments, included like Tulsa, that have a 2 rating. Owasso
right.
is a 3, and there are a lot of 4s and 5s out there.
Right, and so we're on the same level as Tulsa, and they've done a great job. And leadership has done well, and this is a good news. It's surprisingly good news for the citizens.
Chief Banks went into good deal detail. I don't know how much we want to do this morning, but to use his words, they didn't leave many points lying on the table.
That's right. Yeah, he went through each one of the areas, and many times they had gotten all the points. There were a few that we could probably do a little small amount of improvement. I think there were only 2 in the state that were actually number 1.
There were 2 number ones, 30 or 31 mm-hmm. number twos, and then you go up to like 140 or more threes.
Right,
so.
Right.
And it is a numbering system, 1 to 9, and 9 is what you would find in many rural areas where it is a long ways to water and a minimally manned volunteer department.
That's so, correct.
Yeah. But even like you said, within the response time, which I think is a 5-mile radius of Bartlesville outside city limits that Bartlesville still responds to, their premiums will go down quite a bit.
That's right. It's going to have a big impact for a lot of folks in this area.
Yeah. Well, that's great news. And it will, you know, I think he commented that kind of is an economic development factor that we can say, you know, we have something that the city has done that will lower your cost of doing business.
That's right. And when businesses look at a city, that's one of the things they want to look at, not only from the insurance standpoint, but the public safety and safety of their business. So we're right at the top when it comes to fire departments.
Okay, sounds great. There is a report yet to be heard by the council, and all I know is that the Community Development Office also had an ISO visit, and my expectation, based on the comments that were made, correct me if you differ, sometime January or February meeting, likely to hear some more good news.
That's right. And they were indicating that we'll probably have a good report again, and just helps us to make Bartlesville more competitive in the business area, as well as a good place to live, as we already knew.
Looking at the business area, you and I commented before we went on the air that we had an excellent weather for Bartlesville's Christmas parade, for what was going on at the ice skating rink. OFK Mozart had an event Saturday afternoon, and you drive by the Silver Lake Village Shopping Center, and I know that the new and bright and shiny is there, and people want to go see what's going on, but on a typical Saturday or Sunday afternoon since that they've opened, the parking lot basically has been full.
Yes, it's very encouraging, and it shows the kind of vitality that I think we have in Bartlesville that other cities are envying a little bit. In fact, I'd heard a report back that as some folks from other towns had come through, they said, wow, we wish we were doing all this in our town. So it's a good time to be in Bartlesville. There's some exciting things happen. The weather didn't hurt, though, on Saturday.
No. It was. I think we could have a Christmas parade on that same Saturday, and we will for about the next 10 years or so. But I think we're going to go along all 10 without having as good a...
Yeah, last year I remember the Grand Marshal asked me to drive my old convertible, mm-hmm. and it rained.
Yeah.
So, but this year it was beautiful.
It was, and it was, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago that I think I was remembering being out there with earmuffs and a stocking cap and maybe a sweater underneath my jacket.
Yeah.
So it was a good time. The other important item, we'll take a break on that, but the other important item out of last night's City Council meeting, the decisions on a bond proposal for the city, and we'll talk some of the nuts and bolts on that when we continue in just a moment with Alan Gentius.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process in which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
And again, talking with Councilman Alan Gentius, and we've reported it several times, the council has made its decisions. There are a resolution yet to actually be approved to call the election, but barring a major change, you've got the approximately $16 million in bond money decided on how it's going to go and set the March 6th date for an election.
That's right. That decision or the vote will actually occur in the early part of January. I think we're going to meet on the 2nd. Of course, the 1st is a Monday, but it's
this
the
New Year's Day. Yeah, it's one of those dates that you'll have a Tuesday meeting because of a Monday holiday. The proposal, there was some conversation early on between the councilman and you arrived at a consensus, I think, very quickly, whether to see these different areas as separate ballot questions, the parks and rec, the streets, the different proposals. Do we want to do it separately or simply one question? And I think the consensus, I think it was Mr. Curd that said it first, but I could be wrong, that it should be one.
Right. Yeah. Well, and the there are some breakdowns that are required by law, so there will be a breakdown on facilities, park and recreation, storm drainage, and streets. And there was some discussion as to carve out a couple of the parks and recreation projects and let them be standalone. The response I had from the citizens were overwhelmingly for having them all together, they felt that was more straightforward. And I had to kind of agree with that, although I appreciated the concerns on the other side where they thought, well, maybe we should be given choices. You know, once we start giving choices, when do we stop? And there are, I don't know, looks like about 50 different items. Mm-hmm. And if folks had to mark a ballot that had 50 different items, they might at some point say, well, I'm
but this, yeah,
I'm
this
finished.
Is just too much. I'm just going to say no to the rest of it or whatever.
Right.
One interesting item that I think people will want to find out more about is the item on the Tower Green. It's been talked about for a while, but there hasn't been a lot of nuts and bolts and artist conceptions out there yet.
Right. And we have at some of the town hall meetings that I've held in the past, we have had some conceptions there for folks to look at them. I'll be posting some of that. I'm sure that other interested parties will be showing those kind of things. But essentially what it is, it's something that's actually been on a master plan for 15 years. And when I first started running for the city council, had some folks come to me and start talking to me about this. And I immediately thought that was a great idea, and mainly because of what I've seen happen in at the Guthrie Green area in Tulsa, mm-hmm. where they took an old industrial parking lot where no one would ever go. Some people would have been afraid to go. To now, we have thousands. There are thousands and thousands of people who go down there every night, and it's really an amazing central location where folks can gather and have different kinds of events. It's a kind of a unique kind of venue. So we've got involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
The price tag is, in comparison to other things, it's not a large price tag, but it is. I mean, it's $1.75 million. And what it would do, it would close off part of 6th Street between Dewey and Osage,
mm-hmm.
and connect our architectural gem of the Price Tower and our architectural gem of the community center, mm-hmm. both.
A couple of Taliesin West processes,
that's right.
projects overall. And when I saw the drawing, it made a nice connecting venue between the two, but also simply by adding not that many feet to the lawn area of what is now the community center lawn, you could do a lot more with that.
Yes, it's kind of amazing how little investment and little change can create a whole different opportunity that we wouldn't had before. And it kind of provides, I think when folks will come into town, they'll see an area that you wouldn't see anyplace else because we have those two unique buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very excited. I was excited from the beginning. I think that this will be a project that could transfigure the downtown area.
Well, it certainly would make it one more reason for people to spend their time and therefore their dollars downtown.
And I've heard that young people, this is one of the things that young people have got, you know, I'm not so young,
yeah.
but this is one thing that they've really pressed me on, to say that we need something like this, which would be a gathering place for folks to go in the urban environment. And in conjunction with the other things that are happening downtown, I really think there'll be a kind of synergy that we haven't seen before.
Okay. Well, we'll hear more about that as time goes on. I'm sure there will be several public sessions that people can come out and ask questions once it becomes a more formal process after the first of the year. Quite a bit of discussion last night on the Price Fields complex, three ballparks or four, and I don't think people got a good overall view, again, of that master plan as far as what they would like to eventually see it built out as. But it made good sense, I think, with the council taking the four.
Right. And I don't know how many folks have been out there, but you need to go out and look at what's been done so far. The new parking lot, the two new quads. And what will happen in this next phase, there was a design that showed five fields,
mm-hmm.
but Mr. Curd, who's been involved in this very heavily, had agreed that we could do four to start with, which leaves the existing road, and we avoid another expenditure of about $2 million. But it allows for use by older kids. Probably the college could be involved in it, OWU. High school certainly could be involved in it. And it's the next phase in the overall phases that they were talking about. The next phase after this, if this bond is passed, would be to include another field there, most likely, depending on usage, and then two or three more fields, which are really large fields, mm-hmm. that would be to the south.
Something on the order of Dungeness Stadium as far as the links to straight center field.
Right. These are regular-sized ball fields. These are big ball fields. Mm-hmm. And again, it's a good addition to the city. It brings in some additional folks wanting to do this. Fits into the previous studies that he had done as far as young people wanting sports activities for their children. This all fits into that.
My assumption is that it will be, again, after the first of the year, once the official bond question has been called, that all kinds of information sheets will be coming out on what these projects are and what it's going to pay for and that sort of thing.
Yes, and there's other projects, too, that I think once people start seeing the list, I think they'll like it. There's kind of something for everyone. Although, as the mayor said last night, not everybody gets everything because, you know, we have to do things that are in a fiscally responsible way.
Have to fix the streets all the time.
Yes, and we're as always, we're working on the streets. There's going to be a lot of street repair in different parts of the town. Also, stormwater management, which is always very important. Getting a new fire truck, which is always important, mm-hmm. and then some other facility improvements. And overall, I think it's a good spread. I think it also is somewhat visionary, which can, as I said, kind of have a transformational process here in town. One item that was asked about last night, which we're always all interested in, a gentleman had asked in the public comments section whether what effect this would have on taxing. And Mike Bailey in the presentation had indicated that this will have no increase in the property tax.
Yeah. So, again, the tax rate may change, will stay the same. Your individual taxes could vary based on your property value, but the rate will remain the same.
Right, just from the city standpoint.
Right.
We can't do anything about what the county does.
Not exactly, or schools or anybody else.
That's correct.
Okay. Alan Chinch is with us this morning on a Community Connection on AM 1400 K1. News on the way from the Oklahoma News Network.
Alan had signed the compromise budget bill he says she promised to sign, rather than vetoing most of it. A woman has filed a